مارك السهابة، The Voice of أهل السنة والجماعة.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Our listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we welcome you to this program. It is the 19th of Rabiul Akhir, 1446, and it is with Mufti Farhan Karan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mufti Sahib.
Wa alaikum
wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Mufti Sahib? Alhamdulillah,
how is Mufti Sahib doing?
Alhamdulillah, how are you feeling today? Alhamdulillah, much better than last week. Recovering, alhamdulillah. Yourself, how's Mufti Sahib doing?
Alhamdulillah, shukar. Make shukar for every day that passes by. We slept with Iman, we woke up with Iman, we say alhamdulillah. We got the tawfiq to read the Isha Salah with Jamaat, and we read the Fajr Salah with Jamaat. And we have everything. We have, that is a sign that Allah Ta'ala is happy with us. Allah Ta'ala wants us to be His muqarrabin. And Allah Ta'ala wants to bless us with His favors in Jannah. So Allah Ta'ala then gives a person hidayah to make his ibadat. Mm. Allah Ta'ala doesn't want us to make his ibadat. And Allah Ta'ala will keep us away from the masajid, keep us away from the work of deen, keep us away from the ulama and the salaha. So we make shukr to Allah Ta'ala in every situation.
Alhamdulillah. Mufti Sahib, you've mentioned this, and just this thought crossed my mind now that sometimes we feel that by doing certain actions, we give this impression or we show off our iman. But inside, we are totally bare. As Mufti Sahib had mentioned now, these are signs. If we woke up for Fajr Salah, we read last night Isha Salah. But we see that what's happening now, it is all about what my outlook or what my status is on Islam. That will portray my piety. Well, in actual fact, it is the inner piety. It is that which is going to the masjid, performing your salah, all of this year. So it's like a false image or false feeling or sensation of iman. Mufti Sahib, how can we deal with this and come out of this situation?
So, Allah Ta'ala says, in akamakum inda Allah yatqakum, that the most noble amongst you are those who have the most taqwa, the most fear for Allah Ta'ala. So if a person doesn't, what is this taqwa now? Let's analyze what is taqwa. Taqwa means to fear Allah Ta'ala's punishment for not doing what He has ordered us to do. And that is taqwa. So if your parents tell you to do something, or they prohibit you from doing something, and you do it, and you know in the back of your mind that, you know, if I get caught, I'm going to be in trouble. And so that is the taqwa. That is taqwa, that you fear the punishment or the reprimanding from your parents, and you know if you get caught, you are going to be in problems. Now, when we're dealing with Allah Ta'ala, it's not if we get caught. Allah ya'lamu mutaqallabakum wa matwaakum. Allah Ta'ala knows your movements. Allah Ta'ala knows your place of residence. Allah Ta'ala knows where we stay. Allah Ta'ala knows where we're moving around. And we can say, oh, I'm going to the masjid, but meanwhile you're going to smoke with your friends, or you're going to play pool or something. But you can't bluff Allah Ta'ala. And we can hide things from people, but we can't hide things from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala knows that who are the noble ones, and Allah Ta'ala keeps them under His shawl. Allah Ta'ala knows who the pious ones are. Sometimes we think that, you know, oh, I am reading Salah, and I go to the masjid, and, you know, I. We become eye specialists. We don't think for a second that, you know, it's not me who is doing this here. It's Allah Ta'ala who wants me to do this here. It's the tawfiq, the ability Allah Ta'ala has granted me to be inclined towards His deen. And if Allah Ta'ala takes away this ability, then we cannot do anything. We won't be able to do anything. So it's already predetermined that a person is going to go to Jannah, is going to go to Jahannam. In one hadith, that a person will his entire life do evil. And then towards the end of his life, the khalif takes over. And then he does the deeds of good people, pious people, and then he goes to Jannah. Yeah, Allah Ta'ala gives him the ability to make tawbah and istighfar. And Allah Ta'ala forgives him. And then he goes to Jannah by doing good actions. Another person, his entire life is doing good deeds. Everybody knows him, be a buzruk and his prayers and does and that. And towards the end of his life, he takes a turn and he goes the other direction. And he starts involving himself in sin and evils. And then his destiny is Jahannam. So today I wanted to speak about two ayats. The two most beloved ayat in the Quran Kareem. These two ayat are one of the treasures, a part of the treasures under the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It comes in the hadith in Sahih Bukhari that whoever recites these two ayat at night before going to bed, these two ayat are recited before going to bed, then this will be sufficient for him. Now when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says sufficient, there's no clauses there, there's no explanation. It means that it is sufficient for everything, for your dunya and for your akhirah. Because what is in those two ayat, we will inshallah try to go through those two ayat. So these two ayat have been mentioned in many ahadith, different ahadith, like in Muslim Ahmad is mentioned that the last two ayat of Surah Baqarah, and so these ayat come in Surah Baqarah, in the last two ayat of Surah Baqarah, they were the treasures lying under the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they have been given to me, and no other Nabi has been given this. The Nabi is saying that these two ayat have been given to me alone, and no other Nabi has been granted this. So we are fortunate to be ummatis of the Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we also have this this opportunity to recite these two ayat. And it doesn't even take you a minute to recite these two ayat. And in Muslim Sharif also is mentioned that when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam went for Mi'raj, and when he reached Sidratul Muntaha, Sidratul Muntaha is in the seventh heaven. Whatever goes up from earth, it must pass by. The checkpoint is Sidratul Muntaha. It has to go past there. And whatever comes down from Allah Ta'ala, it has to pass Sidratul Muntaha. So this is the one point that everything has to pass by. Whether it goes up, it has to pass there. Whether it comes down, it must pass there. So this is a very significant place. And this Sidratul Muntaha is surrounded by locusts. Now what kind of locusts? Golden locusts. And these golden locusts, they surround this tree. It's a tree. Sidratul Muntaha is a tree. What they call a Jubjub tree. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, there, when I was at Sidratul Muntaha, even Jibreel Alayhi Salaam couldn't go past there. Jibreel Alayhi Salaam said, if I must go set 1 foot past this threshold, then my wings will burn to ashes. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was given this opportunity to go past. And what was he given? Three things, three gifts he was given by Allah Ta'ala. Number one, he was given the five daily salah. The five daily salah were given as a gift to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah Ta'ala could have sent this as wahi to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that your ummah must read five daily salah, and these are the salahs and these are the times. No, this is a special gift that Allah Ta'ala called Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to him, brought Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to him and gave him this gift. The second gift Allah Ta'ala gave Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his ummah is the last two ayat of Surah Baqarah. And the last two ayat of Surah Baqarah. And the third gift is that those who bring Tawheed, those who believe in the one of Allah Ta'ala, all their sins will be forgiven. All their sins will be forgiven. So a person who he brings Iman in Allah Ta'ala and all his aqidahs, all his beliefs are in accordance with the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, then that person will enter Jannah eventually. Allah Ta'ala will forgive him eventually. If he has to go to Jahannam, he will be punished, and then he will come out and he will go to Jannah eventually. So, and Allah Ta'ala is Ghafoor Rahim. Now, you know, people use this here as a scapegoat for all the wrongs they do. Now, they involved in sin and they're doing sin, even while they're committing the sin, they make a mock and they say, you know, Allah Ta'ala is Ghafoor Rahim. You can't say that there. If you're committing a sin, you say Allah is Ghafoor Rahim. Then you're taking a gun and you put the gun in your head and then you pull the trigger and then you expect that nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to happen. And you're not going to die. And there is cause and effect. So if you commit a sin, you are being utmostly disrespectful to Allah Ta'ala by saying, no, Allah Ta'ala will forgive me. So Allah Ta'ala says that the person who brings tawheed in him, Allah Ta'ala will forgive him. Then also it's mentioned in another hadith of Muslim Ahmad that Uqba bin Amir radiallahu anh asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Uqba bin Amir radiallahu anh that always continuously read or recite these two ayat, the last two ayat of Surah Baqarah. Because they were the treasures under the arsh of Allah Ta'ala. So there are many other ahadith also mentioning the virtues of this, these two ayat. Now, what are these two ayat? What is contained in these two ayat? Before we come to that, there's another hadith where Abu Barza Aslami radiallahu anhu narrates that he says, I was in close contact with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I witnessed a lot of things. I witnessed a lot of things whilst I was with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Previous ummats had it very difficult. They had to endure much difficulty and hardship. Like the ummah of Musa alayhi salam, their shariat was very difficult. So this ummah's ahkam, the laws of this ummah, are very, very mild compared to the other ummahs. So Allah Ta'ala has had a lot of mercy on this ummah, ummah Muhammadiyya. So therefore Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that a person's thoughts and intentions, wrong intentions and evil thoughts will not be weighed against him. He will not be held accountable for the evil thoughts and the wrong intentions he has until he speaks what he has in his mind and until he does what he thinks of. So until a person did not do the action, and until the person did not speak the words he has in his mind, he will not be punished for it. He will not be held accountable for it. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then said that forgetfulness and mistakes have been forgiven from my ummah. And a person forgetfully does something, and then he makes tawbah, Allah Ta'ala will forgive him. If you do something, you never intend to do something, it just happened, then Allah Ta'ala will overlook it and Allah Ta'ala will forgive that. Now, how does Allah Ta'ala forgive those kind of sins? When a person makes wudu, when a person reads salah, and he greets another Muslim. So all these actions of ibadat, Allah Ta'ala uses as excuses to forgive our sins. Because they are minor sins. Now, the major sins we require, it requires sincere tawbah. Sincere repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Allah to forgive those. So now we come to those ayat now. So what are those ayat? Allah Ta'ala starts with the first ayat. Amana ar-rasulu bima unzila ilayhi min rabbihi wal mu'minun. Now what does it mean? It means that all the anbiya have brought iman in what was revealed to them from their Rabb, as well as the mu'mineen also have brought iman in whatever was revealed to the Nabi from his Rabb. So the first aspect is Iman, that we believe in whatever Allah Ta'ala has revealed to the Anbiya alayhimus salam. Whatever was revealed to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the Quran, in the form of wahi, anything, in dreams, everything is haq. So we bring full iman in everything. We cannot even have the slightest doubt regarding anything which was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or any of the Anbiya. And then Allah Ta'ala says that kullun amana billah, that every one of them, every single Nabi, has brought iman in Allah and his angels, wa kutubihi, and his books. There have been many small theses sent by Allah Ta'ala and treaties sent by Allah Ta'ala, and the four main books. We know of the Zabur, which they call the Psalms, and the Torah, which is called the Torah also. The Injil is called the Bible. But the Old Testament is the Torah, and the New Testament is the Bible, and then they have 100 versions of it. And then we got the Quran, which is untouched, intact from the time it was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we believe in every Nabi, and every mu'min has to believe in the angels, and they believe in the books of Allah, and they believe in his messengers. Now, there is a plot from the kuffar to take away our iman. The onslaught is there every single day. When our children go to school also, before they even reach grade one, they are taught nursery rhymes, and they are taught about fairies. And now, what's the belief of the kuffar with regard to the angels? They believe that the angels are fairies. Fairies. And all the fairies, if you read any nursery rhyme book or something, you will find that all the fairies are females. All the fairies are females. Now, this is exactly what Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, in Surah Baqarah also, that the angels are not the daughters of Allah Ta'ala. They are not females. There is no gender to an angel. An angel does not hold any gender. It's not a male, not a female. And so the angels are a special creation of Allah Ta'ala, and they do not commit any sins, and they fully obey the instructions given to them by Allah Ta'ala. So we believe in all the angels and all the books of Allah. And so, but the question may arise now, so should we now keep a copy of the Bible in our house? So should we keep a Torah also in our house because we have to believe in it? Yes, you believe in it, but you don't follow it. You don't follow those books. And we have to follow only the Quran Kareem and the messengers of Allah. We have to believe in that all the messages of Allah Ta'ala are on the haq, and all the messages of Allah Ta'ala were the servants of Allah, and they never ever committed any sin. Never ever committed any sin. No Nabi committed a sin. They made mistakes, but it was not a sin. Whether you take Adam alayhi salam, whether you take Musa alayhi salam, you take Isa alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, none of the Nabis lied. None of the Nabis committed a sin. None of the Nabis committed zina, na'udhu billah. None of the Nabis disobeyed Allah Ta'ala. Every Nabi was fully compliant and obedient to Allah Ta'ala. لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله. We do not make any distinction between any of the Anbiya, because all the Anbiya were on haq, and all the Anbiya fulfilled their mandate of propagating the deen of Allah Ta'ala. وقالوا. And what did they all say? سمعنا وأطعنا. This is what we have to bring in our lives. سمعنا وأطعنا. That I have heard and I have obeyed. I have heard and I've obeyed. I got no questions. I'm not going to question why, but why? I don't understand, but it doesn't make sense. No. If it's the hukam of Allah, then I have already obeyed it. I heard the instruction, and I've heard it, and I have obeyed it. I'm fully compliant with this. غُفْرَانَكَ. And we ask Allah to forgive us. رَبَّنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرِ. And to him and to you, Ya Allah, we have to make our return. We have to return. So after bringing iman, then we surrender to Allah. we surrender that I have no brains of my own. This, what I'm doing, I'm reading Salah, it doesn't make sense to me, but I have to do it, I have to fulfill it because it is the hukam of Allah, and I have no questions about it. And I have to give zakat, I have no questions about it. I have to be kind to people, I have no questions about it, because that person is not kind to me, so I'm not going to be kind to him. And if that person doesn't do for me, so I'm not going to do for him. It does not work like that. We have to be, look at Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam example. How much of difficulty did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam not go through? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went through the worst of times in Makkah Mukarramah with the Quraysh. And even though he was a Nabi, and they didn't care the least, they still were nasty to him, and they called him names, and they ridiculed him, and they threw thorns in his pathway, and they even told their sons to divorce Nabi Sassam's daughter to make Nabi Sassam suffer with grief and sorrow. So how much of difficulty did Nabi Sassam not go through? So we ask, so Allah Ta'ala then carries on, La yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wus'aha. The second ayat, Allah Ta'ala says that Allah Ta'ala will not burden any soul except what he can bear. And Allah Ta'ala knows our threshold, our capacity, how much we can bear. And so the injunctions of Allah Ta'ala are not unbearable. It's not unreasonable. It is fully within our capabilities that we can read Salah. Allah Ta'ala has made 5 daily Salah compulsory. Not 50, 5. Right? Fast in a month of Ramadan, it's not 24 hours. It's only from dawn till sunset. That's all. And it's only for 1 month. And zakat, you're not paying tax to SARS. It's not 40%. It's 2.5%. 2.5%. And go for Hajj once in a lifetime. You don't have to go every year. Go once in a lifetime. And so everything in the deen is within our capabilities. It's not out of our bounds. At Lahama Kasabat. Now Allah Ta'ala says, that now that you know this year, that I'm not burdening you, I'm not overloading you with work, that for you is what you have earned. If you earn goodness, then for you, you have a reward. And wa'alayha, and upon you, that against you will be what you have earned also. That if you have committed a sin, then the repercussions of that sin will be on you. And nobody else will bear that repercussions of the sin. Rabbana, now Allah Ta'ala is teaching us that make this dua, Rabbana la tu'akhidna in nasina waqta'na, O my Rabb, do not catch me, if I do not punish me, do not take me to task if I've forgotten or if I made a mistake. And, oh Allah, overlook my faults, my minor faults, my small little faults I've made. Allah, I didn't intend to do those sins. It just happened. Allah, forgive those sins. Then Rabbana wa la tahmil alayna isran. Allah, do not place a burden over us. كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا, like how you have placed the burden over or difficulties over the people before us. Like the previous ummah, they had it much more difficult. They had much more stringent sharia. ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به. O Allah, my Rabb, do not place upon us that which we cannot bear. Then finally Allah Ta'ala says, that you ask me, wa'afu anna, O Allah, overlook our faults, and waghfir lana, and forgive us, warhamna, O Allah, have mercy upon us. That is why there is a waqfa between these du'as, wa'afu anna, you pause. And so you ponder then, while you're making this pause, you ponder, what have I just recited? Waghfir lana, O Allah, forgive me. And you ponder, you make dua, Allah, forgive me, warhamna, and Allah, have mercy on me. Anta maulana, O Allah, you are our guardian. Ya Allah, you are our wali. Fansurna, O Allah, assist us. Assist us. Upon who? And against who? Alal qawmil kafirin. Look at the surah. Surah Baqarah ends with these words. Fansurna alal qawmil kafirin. So Allah is telling us, you have an enemy. First of all, your enemy is your nerves, then it's shaitan. And your enemy is the kuffar. So why are you running behind them? Why do you want to be like them? Because this year tells us explicitly that these kuffar are not your friends. Do not take the kuffar as your friends. And somebody was saying that, you can't have Muslim friends. You know, non-Muslim friends, you know, they give time for you. You know, they give you your time, their time, and they are so nice. And Muslim friends, they don't want to hang out with us, and they don't want to give us time. And so now this is a ploy from the kuffar and from shaitan, that he makes you think, oh, these kuffar are so wonderful. You know, they're so kind and they're so considerate. And, you know, the Muslims, they don't even care about us, and they don't even ask us if you're okay. And, you know, this kuffar, they mustn't judge anybody. No, Allah says, فَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ, that, oh Allah, assist us against these disbelievers, disbelieving nation. So all these disbelieving nations, الْكُفْرُ مِلَّةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ, All these disbelieving nations are all one. Whether you take it's America or Israel or Russia, China, don't think, oh, this country is close to this Muslim country, you know, so they are good. Or so we say, okay, the BRICS countries, we got Russia and China, or they what's South Africa, so okay, they against the West. They want to create their own agendas and have their own agenda, so they're not part of the Western society, and they're part of the Eastern society. So they are better than them. No, al-kufru millatun wahidun wahida. They all the same. The agenda is the same. They might come across to you as caring to Muslims, and in the end, they all playing politics, and they all have the same agenda, and that is to destroy Islam and to make their beliefs embedded and ingrained in us. So Allah Ta'ala, so Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has told us that these ayat you recite every night before you go to bed, there's two ayat from Amanda Rasulullah till the end, and it will suffice. It will suffice for everything. And whether you have whatever problems you have, this is your insurance. This is your insurance. Brief in 1 minute your insurance, you take out the insurance before you go sleep every night. That Allah Ta'ala is sufficient for me, and Allah Ta'ala will take care of all my needs. And we put our trust in Allah Ta'ala, that whatever is happening is in Allah Ta'ala's Allah Ta'ala's knowledge. Allah Ta'ala knows about it. And speaking to one alim, he said, I asked him, you know, what do you think about the situation there in Gaza? And he said, you know, Allah Ta'ala knows everything. You think Allah Ta'ala doesn't know that these people are dying, that people are being bombed, these people are being burnt alive? You think Allah Ta'ala doesn't know this here? Allah Ta'ala is fully aware of all this here. But Allah Ta'ala's whoop will strike, and will strike on its time. And Allah Ta'ala knows why He is doing certain things, why He allows certain things to happen. It's all in Allah Ta'ala's control. So we cannot utter kufr statements against Allah Ta'ala. So whatever is happening is in Allah Ta'ala's hikmah, Allah Ta'ala's wisdom, Allah Ta'ala's knowledge. When the time is right, Allah Ta'ala will crack his whip, and then there is no way out. And when this whip cracks, Allah Ta'ala will utterly destroy this kuffar. And if they don't get the whip in this dunya, in the most severest of form, like hurricane America is getting at the moment, there are two hurricanes in 1 week, and then when they die, then there's eternal doom for them. So Allah Ta'ala keep us on iman, and Allah Ta'ala save us from the plots of the kuffar. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.
Mufti Saab, Jazakumullah khairan for your advice, and make dua for us, inshallah. We'll meet you next week, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was Mufti Farhan Karani, and giving us pertinent advice. The podcast will be prepared, inshallah. For those who want it, you can access it on the Merkaz Sahaba website, and it will be sent out as well. From us and the team, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Merkaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.